That I'm able to talk in four services today, two Cantonese, one Mandarin, and this is the English. So if I accidentally mix up with all the languages, and bear with me, okay? So it's okay. You know, children ministry is always, where are my stuff? Yeah, because we have lots of stuff. Today's topic, and about a month ago, we had a children ministry and committee meeting. So we decided this will be our topic, back to the future. So it's not, if you're old enough, I remember when I date Uncle Robin, we went to watch Back to the Future. So that's not the Back to the Future that we are going to talk about. So when we talk about the future of the church, usually you will think of whom? You don't think of Pastor Jim. I'm sorry. you will think of the kids. Okay? So, of course, the kids are the future of our church. Agree? Yes, agree. And when we talk about future, sometimes we have some emotional attached to it. Okay? It really depends on how prepared you are. Okay? For example, if you have a big exam, if you are prepared, how do you feel? Oh, just piece of cake. Oh, I just go get my 100% plus the bonus mark tomorrow. So you walk in there with confident, relaxed, and excitement. But how about if you are not prepared? So you try everything to get away from it. You walk up and, am I sick? Should I call my professor? I cannot do it because I have this coronary disease. Yeah, so that you can postpone at least for 2 weeks? No, okay. So you are actually very anxious, fear, and not welcoming, right? You try everything to not think about it. So when we talk about the future of the kids is our future, how do you feel? How do you feel? Or maybe you will have a third reaction. The third reaction, I don't know, never thought about it, didn't bother me. Yeah, maybe that's your attitude when you think about the future. You don't really pay attention, you don't know. And usually, I think my kids agree with me. I do have Justin there, maybe Jasmine somewhere, yeah. I always tell them, since they are small, because they don't think mommy is very smart since they grow up, right? And I always told them, you know, mommy is actually very, very smart, okay, most of the thing. But God is fair, you know, we cannot be good at everything. There is one thing I'm really, really lousy at doing it, is math. I can never get the number right. But since I challenged myself to go up to this stage to talk to you, this is my other challenge, okay? So I would bring you some math to do it with me. Okay, so this is my challenge to myself. So the first one is, we start with easy, okay? 20 plus 30 is, oh, by the way, this one is for the pastors, for the elders, and for the deacons. Okay, so 20 plus 30. 20. Okay, it's 2050. So when we talk about 2020 plus 30, 2050. So think about the youngest baby in our nursery. I think we have a youngest one just born in October. Okay, Hannah. Okay, so think about in year 2050, how old is Hannah? 30. So we hope Hannah will graduate and maybe start dating, maybe even have family or even have their own kids, right? It's not, think about 30 years ago, it was actually not long ago. But when you're holding a baby 30 years old, and then she's going to be 30. And think about those kids who are 10 years old, 15 years old, they are going to be 40 something. And when we think about this future, how do you feel? Do you, Pastor Larry, do you getting excited? Wow, they finally can grow up and I don't need to do prayer meeting anymore, and they can lead the prayer meeting. I can just sit at the corner and then give them advice. Are you excited? Are you happy? Are you, wow, this is wonderful. I can't wait for them to grow up. Or when you look at these 30, 40 years old, you say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? If I rely on them to do anything, it's hopeless. Then how do you feel? You feel anxious, you feel fear. Or maybe some people say, I don't know. I never thought about it. Well, it's the way it is. It's fine. Yeah, maybe you have this kind of mindset. Okay. So my question for this year is, as the leaders of church, are we doing anything, planning anything to get them ready to make sure that when they grow up, they will be the leader of church? They will be the people to take that baton in the kingdom of God. Are we doing anything relevant? Relevant? Are we preparing them enough? Okay, so this is the first question. And then the second question is, this is, I think it's the toughest one for me. 18 times 25. 52, see? I told you I'm not good at numbers, okay? 52. So who can get it? Yeah, you have your phone. Now you can pull it out and say, Pastor May asked me to use my phone in a worship. 936. So the 18 years represent the 18 years that you have with the kids in your house. This question is for parents. Doesn't mean 18, the 18 years birthday is your finish line. No way. But at least in that 18 years before they graduate high school, you approximately have 936 weeks to mold them, to teach them, to equip them. Okay, so, and time runs very fast, okay? And when you are a parent, days are long, but years are short, okay? So they run very fast. So when I actually have a 18 years old in my house, okay, so my youngest daughter, Jasmine, is 18, and she's my very special kid. Doesn't mean that they are all special, okay? Yeah, but she's very independent. When she was a young kid, she already, grade one, she already told me, Mom, you stay here at the parking lot. You don't want me to the classroom. You know, if you worry, you stay here and watch me. But I am going to go to that classroom on my own. I'm old enough. That's her. And now she's graduate high school. And then one day we sat down to have a talk. And I said, Jasmine, how's application of university going? And then she has high expectation on herself. And she already looked into the very good program, that the very good university, and planning to leave home. Okay. And then I sat down with her and said, Jasmine, by the way, you know, I think I'm not very prepared. That's why I'm anxious and worried, okay? Yeah, and have you thought about going to a smaller school? And then we start to talk about small fish in the big pond and the big fish in the small pond. And I said, you got to have some strategy. You know, sometimes it may not be a very good idea, not always, to be the smallest fish in the big pond. I'm not saying that you are the smaller fish, okay? just for the saying. So I don't want to hurt her feeling, right? And then all of a sudden, God remind me, Holy Spirit remind me, hey, wait a minute. It doesn't matter if she's a big fish or small fish, that's not my focus. I want her to be my fisherman of men. I want her to be my fisherman of men. And my question is, for the 18 years, did I equip her to be a successful person in the society, to make a living, to be respected by others? Or I intentionally equip her to go out to this crazy world to be Jesus Christ's disciple? I think that was a very good reminder. And then I changed, and after that I changed my topic, and I said, and God remind me a story of her when she was very young. You know, she's a strong mind kid, okay, strong will kid, and but she's very smart. When she was 1 year old, 2 years old, she would go everywhere to look for my a container. Okay, so she wants to know what's inside all the container. So she would break things, she would try to do everything. The purpose is to open it up to see what's inside. And then I knew she was a very smart kid, very special. And then one day, she was fiddling with a container, and I said, Jasmine, you are going to be in trouble if you break it. And then she just ignored me, doing her own thing, and tried to be gentle with the container. And then after a while, I couldn't find her. I couldn't find her. She was actually, I was looking all over for her, and then finally I find her under the dinner table with the tablecloth, with that little kid's toddler under the tablecloth. And I was looking for, look, I peek inside, and she was trying to fix what she broke. And then I gently talked to her, Jasmine, if anything that break, please come to me. Don't run away from me. And during that conversation, God reminded me about this incident. And then instead of talking about big fish in small pond in big fish, I said, Jasmine, you are going to leave home. Remember when you were young? Remember, you always try, when you are in trouble, you always try to hiding in that small table, in that dining table, and try to fix things on your own? She said, yes. And I said, remember, you are leaving home, there will not be dining table, there will not be mom asking you, let me fix it. But you can always go back to God. Always go back to God. Don't run away from God. So I think for that 18 years you're with her, for that, how many times, create some conversation that reach out to their heart. Equip them, give them the relevant strategy, relevant skill to fight that battle for God. Not being a successful, respectful professional out in the society. That's another one. So the third one is 24 times 7. I did my calculation with my calculator. 168. So each week you have 7 days. Each day you have 24 hours. But in that 24, in that 160 hours, how many hours the kids will get that spiritual teaching, will get that spiritual conversation, will be built up spiritually? And many parents think, okay, I try so hard to get my kids to Awana. You know how hard it is? You have no idea. And I take my kids to children worship, children's Sunday school. But, okay, no, that's only 1 hour. By the time they say, Auntie May, I need to go to washroom. I need to wash my hand. I need to eat. I need to run. I need to have my tantrum. Okay, so we only have, at most, 1 hour. But if I ask you to eat just 1 hour per week, will you be growing well? You will die. So I want you to understand that, is that just the parent's job? Oh, parent, you have 167 hours. You should do the responsibility. I'll just take them for that 1 hour, keep them quiet, keep them not making trouble. No, because it's just that 1 hour, we have to make it very, 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 very good. So in order to make that 1 hour very, 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 very good, I need everybody to help. Okay. So, and you ask me how can I help? So I give you three challenges, not this thing. The first thing you can help is, I love dogs, I love kids, and I think dogs and kids, they are very similar in some way. Dog smells, okay, yeah. And then kids, when they smell, they sense, okay. And the kids, they said that they are very sensitive, okay. And the first challenge I give every one of you is take time to be close to God, to be that holy, to be that godly people. When the kids comes into this church, the people they run into, they can tell if you are a godly people. If we have so many godly people in this church, then they come in and say, yeah, this is God's church, and then they see God through you. So this is one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is pray for us. And then you will say, I pray for you, but what do you want to pray for? And then you will try to find out more. Okay, so please pray for us. We are struggling. And then the third thing we have to do is, will you take that 2-3 hours per week, or even 1 hour per week, a few hours per month, to help us out, to make that 1 hour very, very, very good? So these are the three math questions that I want to present. So I have a booth over there, so with all the information, and I also have the 12 posters to help the parent to understand different stage of kids, what different stage you do different things. Come check out, okay? If you have any problem, if you have any problem, don't come to me. Any questions, come to me, okay? And email me, and I will get back to you. And since now I have Monique working with me, I have no excuse say I'm too busy. Okay, so please come. Okay, if trouble or question, I would say okay.
Okay, let's stand together, shall we, and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Pastor May and for all of our children downstairs and all of our teachers and all those that serve in our Awana program. We thank you so much for the blessing of the foundation that we have underneath our feet, even this morning, of those that are diligently being with our children to raise them up and encourage them. And we thank you for this illustration of the time that we have. And you've told us to number our days aright. And Lord, certainly these numbers give us pause this morning to think about how limited really our time is in way of instruction for the church. So we pray over our parents this morning and our teachers. Lord, they have them for so many more hours during the day, and sometimes it's just a matter of just keeping the kids busy. But Lord, we pray that you'll give them insight into how to encourage them spiritually, as Pastor May has told us. We pray that, Lord, you would help them to see the weight of their spiritual being and their personhood as just as important as their physical well-being. And so we commit that to you today, and thank you so much for all those that serve so diligently. And we know sometimes it can be a thankless job or ministry. We think sometimes so much more important to see the adults and all the things that they do as being the important part. But Lord, it's not the case, as Pastor May has reminded us. Really, as if we affect the blessing of our kids this morning, we have done so much more in way of the kingdom of God. And you yourself said, welcome the little children to come to me. And you took the time and put them on your knee and blessed them and prayed over each one of them. Lord, we do that this morning and mindfully taking this time today to think of our kids. And thank you, Lord, for, again, your blessings upon us as a congregation. And we pray over this message and also this opportunity we have to minister in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for taking the time to consider all these things for our kids today. I'm also very much aware of our time, so I don't think I'm going to get my full message in this morning in way of my PowerPoint and all the rest that I've prepared for you today. And maybe that's a good thing, because even this morning, as I, you know, in that state when you're in bed and you're kind of trying to get to sleep and you're kind of tossing and turning, and then you know, you're kind of in that dream state. And I find that sometimes God speaks to me in that quasi time. And of course, I've been preparing this message all week in way of giving as an antidote to worldliness. And I think that's part of it. You know, what you're ruminating over, praying over, thinking over, sometimes some kind of images come to your mind. And one of the things that really popped into my head this morning in that quasi state, I don't have that in my notes at all, okay? So this is just off the top of my head here, was the fact of the Galilean Sea and the Dead Sea in the land of Israel. And I was thinking about how, you know, when we cup our hands and we hold our hands together, it's like the Sea of Galilee, because God pours in all those blessings, right? He gives us all those good things in our lives. And then the Jordan River kind of sneaks through the land of Israel and kind of ends up in the Dead Sea. And those two lakes kind of portray an image for us, because in the Dead Sea, there's no Jordan River to flow out. All that water from the Sea of Galilee down into the Dead Sea, and they call it the Dead Sea for a reason, because nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It's basically evaporates. And all that sediment and all that stuff that flows into it doesn't go anywhere. And so it's dead. No fish, I think only microbial, maybe even basic microbial life that eats salt and that sort of thing live in that dead place. But those two images of those two seas is really reflective of what it means to give. And what happens in our lives if we don't give. As we receive the blessings of God and we open up our hearts and our lives and let it flow from our lives, we get life and we get blessing more so that we can give more. But if we close up and just hold those blessings and those anointings upon our life for ourselves, then we become like the Dead Sea. We stagnate. And the only way to get anything out of it is to evaporate it out of our lives. And so I want you to hold that image in your heart and your mind this morning as you think about giving and how important it is for us to not just receive the blessings of God, thank God for those things, but also seek to be one that gives. And in so giving, you will be full of life. Full of good things. And they say at the close of life, people aren't going to ask the question, how much did you get? You know, how much education did you have? How many cars did you drive? Et cetera, et cetera. They're going to look at your life and say, how much did you give? You're known for those things that you poured your life into. And so I want to encourage you with those kind of thoughts. And also, in way of our verse here, Psalm 62, verse 10, though your riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Do not set your heart upon them. Because if we set our heart upon our riches, and we see those riches and our wealth as our treasure, we are of all people so poor, truly. But if we see those riches, that wealth, as a means, kind of like a tool to be able to better serve other people around us. And you know what a tool is an extension of your hand. Basically a monkey wrench or a hammer or something else. You know, if you just tried to use your hand to pound in a nail or try to turn a nut, it would never, you'd be struggling there for hours. But with the proper tool in your hand, you can turn that nut and hammer that nail so sufficiently, so quickly, so easily. Money can be like that. It can be a great blessing. But it can also be a great curse upon us. It can cause great sickness, as we've already heard, in way of that Dead Sea. It can cause us to close in upon ourselves and just so hoard our money and think of it as we can't let it go and we cling to it. And the more we cling to it, and the more we hold fast to it, the more our soul is held fast to, and the more we get diseased. And so the great antidote, really, to our society and to our own souls and our own hearts is to give. And so we take opportunity here in the church to tithe. That's talking about giving of 10%. Deuteronomy encourages us to give of 10%. Of our income. And that's not, again, just to be a law unto us, but an encouragement to us as Christians. As we see, the Old Testament saw it as a legal system. How much more in the year and the age of grace should we be those that are so generous and giving that we could give more, even more than that 10% of our income? Because as we see God prospering us, we desire to prosper his work and encourage people. So that, in a nutshell, is the entirety of my message this morning. So at this point, we want to call those that are serving communion to come forward. And we're going to take of communion again, something that is filling our cups this morning, isn't it? Receiving of God's grace upon us, that he poured out his life on our behalf, to deal with our sinfulness, to deal with those things in our lives that have created brokenness. And so this morning, we're going to do something a little differently in way of serving communion. We're going to take the trays, and also I think we have some gloves there. So because of the coronavirus and the flu season and colds that is so rife within our community and our society today, we're going to take some means to help us to stop passing some germs around to you. So we're not going to actually pass the trays this morning. We're actually going to have our servers, maybe Don and Susan over here, Larry and Susan over here. We got two Susans together. It might be a little Larry and Susan maybe in the middle, and then Les and Bill over on this side. And I'm going to give them the trays, and then what they're going to do is they're going to take the communion cup from the tray and pass it to each individual as you come forward, okay? So please don't sneeze on them or cough on them or cough on the tray, and we'll all be the healthier for it, okay? So a little different in the way that we're going to use in way of a methodology to receive other communion elements. I think upstairs, do we have servers upstairs too? Over there, okay. So you guys upstairs, you guys will have to go and talk to who's up there? Jake and Wayne. Okay, so Jake and Wayne, you guys are good up there? You got everything? Okay, good. So you guys are going to have to funnel over there. So be careful. Don't everybody go to the all at once to that side, because that'll make that side very weighty. Okay, so just take your time and just go slowly over there. Okay. So once you receive your cup, don't rip into it. I got a picture here, I think, of our communion cups. Don't rip into it right away and take it, okay? We're going to take it all together like good medicine, like an antidote to our ills, okay? So how it works, can we have the image up there? It is up. Okay, there we go. So that's what the container looks like. It's all contained in one. It's all cellophane wrapped. So there's two layers to the tearing part. So the first part is kind of a cellophane top with the wafer in it, and then you tear it a second time with a foil top on it, and that gives you the juice inside. So if you rip it and you start to get juice, you've gone too deep. I'm sorry. Okay? Just rip it lightly and get that cellophane top so the wafer is exposed, okay? So we'll be doing that together. So once you get your cup, don't open it and try to take it up at the front here. Go back to your seats, and then when everybody's seated and received of the cup, then we'll be standing and partaking together, all right? All clear? Clear as mud? Okay, we all understand that? Okay, so I'm going to pass our trays to our servers up here, and you feel free to come and line up and pick up your cup, and then go back to your seat. Don't drink it, and then we'll open it together and take the wafer, open it again and take the cup, okay? Clear? Good. Glad we all understand that. Okay, and while we're doing that, our lovely worship team is going to be singing and leading us in singing.
Of his love, rich in mercy, he made us alive in him, saved us from death, rescued the sinners. This is the
stand together. Okay, again, so there's two little foils, so you'll have to be very delicate, some of us more delicate than others, to rip the top part of the cellophane off. Maybe not totally off. You can leave a little bit hanging there if you like. And so it's all ready for you just to take of that wafer, and so I'll ask you to take it into your hand. And Jesus said on that fateful night, he said, this is my body broken for you. So let us partake of the wafer together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this reminder that your body was broken for us, for the redemption, the cleansing of our sin. We thank you, and we'll thank you throughout eternity for your great gift of salvation to our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've torn it a little too much and you've already got into the juice, that's okay because we're going to tear it even more. So try to tear back the foil. Boy, this takes some strong fingers, doesn't it? Okay. So the Lord Jesus Christ on that night as well took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it." So let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great offering, your great sacrifice on our behalf. We thank you for your great love to us, extended to us in your broken body and your shed blood on our behalf. We commit ourselves to you, to not only receiving, but also to give in our lives, which is a great antidote against the worldliness that is all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. And our ushers, our servers also have little containers that we ask you to just pass your cups to the inside aisles, and they'll be collecting those cups up for us.
We get you to stand and join us with just our last song as we worship the Jesus that we've just been talking about, the one who brought us salvation.
Benediction this morning. Please bow your heads with me. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Amen. Please be seated. I encourage you with some of the announcements this morning. If you'd take out your bulletins to some of the announcements. I just want to encourage you in way of those that are serving our Lord. Number three here is that both Monique and Wendy, not my Wendy, but another Wendy, Wendy Tsung, has been accepted as employees here of the church, and they're going to be helping Pastor May, as she told us this morning, in way of our children's ministry. But that doesn't negate the need for us to continue to volunteer. And as so she reminded us that she'll have a table in our connections room and also downstairs in way of people coming up and asking her how they can help, how they can give towards the ministries of our children. So please look to that opportunity and how you can help us in way of service to our Lord and to our children. Also, you'll note in number 6, we have 25th anniversary report, and it's coming out of the office very soon. And if you want to receive a hard copy of that, you have to register at the office before February 16th, which is next Sunday, okay? So please, if you want, you know, a hard copy, if you're happy with an electronic version of it, that will be available as well. But if you want a hard copy, you have to register. Also, we'll be teaching, having our final class. It says 2 out of 3, but actually it's 3 out of 3. This is our final class talking about how the Lord's Word, our Bible, came to us, and its authority and its significance in the way it's come to us. How can we think of it as authentic? And how can we think of it as having authority in our lives? So it's such a great and crucial class for us, and we're offering that up in our library after our break at 11:45 today. So if you didn't take the other two classes, you're still welcome to come and join us upstairs in the library at 11:45. Also, we have our final two classes on membership Sunday night tonight. I'll be teaching the first segment of the membership class, and then the second, Pastor Jim, will be teaching the following Sunday night. So if you would like to consider being a member here at Westwood Alliance Church, you haven't taken the membership class before, and you would like to transfer your membership here to us, these classes are mandatory for transferring membership, and then there'll be an interview following that for those that are considering baptism as well as those considering membership. So those baptismal candidates also have to take the membership class on these two consecutive Sunday nights. So please come and join us tonight at 7 o'clock here at the church. Let us know that you're coming so I can have the materials prepared for you. So tonight, 7 o'clock, membership transfer. Also, 10, Israel trip. Pastor Jim and I have thought it prudent of us to give people opportunity to consider going to Israel and seeing the land that constructed and was part of the formation of God's Word to us. And indeed, it gives great insight into God's Word because of being actually physically there. So that is going to be planned in 2021. So not this year, next year, and possibly May. But we need to do some planning and people that might be interested in going. So Velma has volunteered to hand out, again, some brochures in regards to the trip out in the foyer. Velma, do you want to just stand up and wave your hand around? Give us the queenly wave. Yes. So talk to Velma down here, Pastor Jim's significant other. And she will give you a little brochure about that Israel trip and some of the initial thinking on it. And then stay tuned as Pastor Jim and myself designate a date for a meeting that we could all gather around and talk about the trip and those significant things that we might like to do on that trip. This isn't something that's going to be sponsored or funded by the church. This is completely out of our own pockets. So please understand that. And if you're interested, see Velma and pick up a brochure and then look forward to an opportunity to meet together. Those are the announcements. I wanted to take a little longer in doing that this morning. Thank you for your attentiveness this morning. And again, God says if you increase in wealth, if you increase in possessions, and certainly we as a peer person here in North America have increased in wealth and increased in possession. We cannot not because of the blessings that are part of North American society. But the scripture says, do not put your heart on it. Don't put your heart on the money, the wealth, the possessions. Because again, will be like the Dead Sea. And we just grip the money, that wealth for ourselves. We'll be like the Dead Sea. We'll be dead inside. The only way to truly live is to let go, to give, and to give generously to God's work and to God's ministry. And so we want to encourage you with that this morning. May God bless you as you go into your week, and thank you for joining us here at Westwood Alliance Church.
Joseph's tomb, the ancient seal, by heavy stone, Messiah's tear, and all alone. The blazing sun shall pierce the night.